There are very few things that investors can do that are free. But what about a podcast that delivers educational content on investing, saving strategies, financial planning, items of interest, and even the odd wacky topic? Welcome to Free Lunch, hosted by the CM Group. Free Lunch will bring listeners the team's vast knowledge and experience in dealing with uncertainty to help clients achieve their vision through a deep understanding of what's important to them that requires planning, money, and time. Learn more and subscribe today at markets-work.com.
Welcome back to the self-proclaimed number one podcast in the free world, Greg, the Free Lunch.
Yeah.
Self-proclaimed number one.
Exactly.
I think it's number one. What do you think?
Yep. Registered trademark, number one podcast.
Well, that sounds like 100% consensus. But recently, Greg, we've spent some time talking about NVIDIA and Groupon and companies that have come and gone or have achieved some remarkable success in a short period of time.
Yep.
And we spent some time late last year talking about the GameStop short squeeze, referencing that movie. What's it called? Dumb Money?
Dumb Money, yes.
I always think of Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah.
But those are two different movies.
They are.
Very different. But today we're going to talk a little bit more about meme stocks, because there's something in the news these days.
There is.
Yeah. And I'm going to let you run with this. So
sure.
Why don't you fill us in on what you want to talk about today? Oh, wait. And actually, before we do that, just a disclaimer up front.
Mm-hmm.
We are not a political commentary podcast. We don't take sides or any of that stuff. And we just report facts.
Exactly. Thanks for that disclaimer up front.
Yeah.
Because today, what I want to do is talk about the newest meme stock on the market.
Mm-hmm.
And that one goes by the ticker DJT.
It sounds very familiar.
Yep. Donald J. Trump. And DJT is the Trump Media and Technology Company ticker symbol for the newest meme stock. So first of all, let's review. What is a meme stock? Well, basically, meme stocks are shares of companies around which there's a lot of online communities that have been formed to promote and build narratives around those stocks.
Mm-hmm.
And the meme stocks in their present form that we're familiar with, they started basically in the year 2020 out of the Reddit Wall Street Bets community.
Which is the Dumb Money movie.
That's right. Yep, exactly. And as we've talked many times before, and we'll mention again, GameStop basically is widely regarded as the first meme stock. And the price of GameStop rose as much as 100 times over several months as its meme community basically created a short squeeze to try to stick it to hedge fund managers who had been shorting GameStop.
Before we get on with it, you know what I find incredible is that GameStop is still around, and it's still trading around $11 a share.
Yeah, and I think that's after splitting.
Yeah, and so this is a company that, for anybody that's not familiar, in Canada, it would be like EB Games.
Yeah.
That was GameStop in Canada.
Yeah.
And so if you think about it, going to a strip mall to buy video games and video game consoles.
Yeah.
Kind of a dying business.
Yeah, hard to believe that that's the future. But yeah. Anyway, what we saw with GameStop and subsequently AMC and other meme stocks, it's usually not about the fundamentals of the company or the strength or the operating profits or anything like that. It's more of a
momentum.
Social movement and momentum.
Mm-hmm.
And I think probably a lot of greed along the way as well.
Yeah.
And actually, one of the things that you've mentioned from the movie is meme stocks have generated a lot of their own slang and language that you see in online forums and social media. What was the language around hanging on to your stock regardless?
You got to have diamond hands.
Diamond hands.
Diamond
right
hands
on.
Means you don't sell the stock, or what they call the stonk. Only paper hands sell the stonk.
Right on.
That is not my language. That's from the Reddit Wall Street Bets community.
Exactly. So one of the things, though, we find with meme stocks is they carry an extra risk of higher than normal volatility that can be driven by viral posts on social media platforms. And so, again, the trading is not driven by fundamentals typically, but it's driven by social media activity and stuff like that. So today we wanted to focus on the newest meme stock, which I mentioned was DJT, Trump Media and Technology Corp. And first of all, I just want to go through a little background on that company, because the company basically became a public company through a mechanism which is called the SPAC, the Special Purpose Acquisition Company.
SPAC.
And basically, a SPAC is a company without any commercial operations and is formed strictly to raise capital through an IPO or initial public offering, ultimately for the purpose of acquiring or merging with an existing company. So these companies are also known as blank check companies, and they've been around for decades. But basically, since 2020, their popularity has really soared. In 2020, for example, there was 247 SPACs created, about $80 billion invested. And in 2021, there were 613 SPACs. And listen, these kinds of companies have existed and they still exist in Canada and in Calgary as well. When I started in this business many years ago.
Yeah. How many?
28.
And how many days and hours?
Not really sure. But there was these things called junior capital pool companies. And now I believe they're still around. They're just called capital pool companies. But essentially, they basically were an IPO is done to create a shell company that has no assets. And it raises funds with the junior capital companies. It was like $100,000 with some of the SPACs in the US. They could raise $1 billion. But basically, they raised the money without having an actual commercial operation with the idea that within 2 years, these companies would go and merge with or buy out a private company. That company would then be a publicly traded company. And the original investors in the SPAC would then own shares of an operating company. And so it was just a way for those private companies to actually become public companies without having to go through the process of applying for listing on one of the major stock exchanges.
But that process is in place for a reason.
Yes.
Right.
Exactly. And so the other thing is that when you're buying into a SPAC, you're buying into an investment where you hope that the sponsors of that particular SPAC have some particular industry or business sector expertise that'll allow them to pursue great deals. And so the founders of this SPAC may have an acquisition target in mind, but they don't actually identify the target at the time that they're going public because there are disclosure requirements in the whole process that don't allow them to do that. So again, as I mentioned, SPACs are formed by investors or sponsors with expertise in a particular industry. They provide IPO investors with very little information prior to investing. So SPACs, and they go public through underwriting and through institutional investors before they offer shares to the public.
It sounds crazy, though. You're just giving your money blindly to some entity that has no revenue.
Yes.
In the hopes that they will acquire something that will be profitable.
Exactly right. And remember, I said, I think in one of our last couple of podcasts, that what really frosts my buns is when you hear things like, well, finally, retail investors have the opportunity to invest like the pros.
Yeah.
Invest like the highest net worth people have been doing for years. And the concept here is that many high net worth individuals have access to private equity or to private companies that aren't publicly listed and therefore don't have to go through all of the transparency and regulatory requirements of being publicly listed. And SPACs actually are a way for individual investors to access those private company shares through this vehicle.
I've got a reference around that. There's another company out there. I think they're called Masterworks. They trade art.
Okay.
And of course, and I'm not recommending them by any means, they say that finally, for the first time, retail investors can have access to some of the most famous paintings of all time. You purchase fractional ownership of a Rembrandt, somebody like that, but you don't actually ever physically touch the painting or know what they're buying. It just doesn't seem right.
Finally, you can invest like the ultra wealthy.
Yeah, but the ultra wealthy would have the painting
exactly.
In their house.
You get a share of a painting. Okay, so the SPACs raise funds in the IPO. The money's placed in an interest-bearing trust, can't be dispersed unless there's actually an acquisition. And if the SPAC is unable to complete the acquisition, the funds go back to the original investors. And typically, a SPAC has 2 years to complete a deal. And in some cases, they can extend that time frame through a vote with the board. But generally, it's expected that they'll complete the acquisition in 2 years.
Wait, though, can you have a SPAC that holds investments in a SPAC?
No, typically it's held interest bearing only because the funds have to go back to the original investors if a deal isn't done.
Okay.
And so, and as I mentioned earlier, the advantages for companies that want to go public are somewhat important because the route to using a SPAC to a public offering might take a few months, but a conventional IPO process can take 6 months to a year. Now, unfortunately, returns from SPACs may not always meet investors' expectations. And Goldman Sachs strategist noted back in September of 21 that of 172 SPACs that had closed a deal since the start of 2020, the median SPAC had outperformed the Russell 3000 index from its IPO to deal announcement. But 6 months after deal closure, the median SPAC had underperformed the Russell 3000 by 42 percentage points.
That's a lot.
That's a lot. So again, lots of hype, lots of enthusiasm when an acquisition is done, but might not necessarily deliver because in the end, the value of the shares are tied to the value of the underlying company that's been acquired. So that's SPACs. And I thought it was just important to go through that background because, of course, that's how our latest meme stock became a publicly traded company. And there have been other well-known companies that have become publicly listed by merging with a SPAC, companies like DraftKings and Virgin Galactic, the space travel company founded by Richard Branson.
Branson, yeah.
And now Trump Media. Okay, so Trump Media, the SPAC associated with Trump Media was a company called Digital World Acquisition Corp, DWAC, and that was founded back in September of 2021. And then a month later, the company announced a proposed merger agreement with Trump Media and Technology Group, which is the owner of Truth Social. And that merger was actually just completed back in this past March, last month.
Yep. I'm just reading this and it's like, DWAC was the SPAC.
Mm-hmm.
So DWAC was the SPAC that took it all back.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Love those acronyms. Anyway, so back in September of 2021, DWAC, they'd started trading on the NASDAQ. They sold 25 million shares in their original IPO. $10 a share is typically the issued price. And then again, as I mentioned a month later, they announced they'd entered into a definitive merger agreement that would combine Trump Media and Technology Group with the SPAC, allowing Trump Media to be a publicly traded company. Now, as with many things that are associated with the former president, there's a lot of controversy over
everything.
So, for example, Digital World was created with the help of ARK Capital, which is a Shanghai-based firm specializing in listing Chinese companies on American stock markets. That's been the target of a U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission investigation for misrepresenting shell corporations.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like trouble.
Some investors, of course, they went in blind, not knowing what the money was going to be used for, and they were surprised when they found out it was going to be used to finance a Trump company.
But wouldn't all investors of a SPAC have gone in blind?
They're supposed to have.
Yeah.
That's right. Okay, so a lot of controversy around some of the lead bankers who were involved in this, including companies based in Wuhan, China, which is interesting, of course, given Wuhan's prominence in the whole discussion around the COVID.
Not that we're saying that anything originated from anywhere.
Exactly. So again, as I mentioned, typically with SPACs, they have to complete an acquisition within 2 years. However, back in 2023, the firm got approval by its shareholders to extend the deal closing for another year. What else happened with Digital World? Well, back in March of 2023, so about a year ago, they fired the CEO, Patrick Orlando, who was a critical person involved in forming that company and ultimately planning the merger with Trump Media. So let's see, what else should we talk about? Well, there were some investigations for illegal trading. Okay, so back in June of 2023, three people were arrested on charges that they had illegally traded Digital World shares based on non-public knowledge before the proposed merger was announced in 2021. So prior to the October announcement that Digital World was merging with Trump Media, there was some illegal trading going on based on the insider information. And as of the date of this recording, those three people have now been found guilty of insider trading.
So insider trading is frowned upon, is what you're saying?
Yep, it is, generally speaking, yeah. It turns out that Patrick Orlando, the previous CEO of Digital World, had been discussing the deal with Trump since at least March of 2021, which is prior to the formation of the SPAC. Now, apparently that's all right to discuss it, but at the time the SPAC is formed, there was supposed to be no specific target in mind. Of course, there obviously was, and people were doing insider trading with that information.
It always shocks me when you hear about the insider trading announcements, people being found guilty, being caught. Like they didn't think that anybody would scrutinize their trades?
Yeah.
I mean, all trades are scrutinized.
Exactly.
So if you do a really large trade on a one-off SPAC, it's going to get flagged.
Exactly. And in fact, the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority asked Digital World for information about stock trading and communications with Trump Media prior to the deal being announced, because again, as we've talked about, that's frowned upon. And in June 2022, the SEC is expanding the inquiry. Grand jury was seated. And at the end of this whole piece, back on July 3rd of 2023, Digital World announced its intent to settle with the SEC by paying an $18 million fine. Okay, so that now has gone away. Let's go back to Truth Social, because that's basically the main asset of Trump Media, which was acquired by Digital World.
Which was formed when then President Trump was banned from being on Twitter
and
other social media channels.
The company Trump Media was formed, I believe, in March of 2021, and Truth Social launched about a year later. So, according to filings with the SEC, Trump reported that he had made less than $200 from Trump Media back in 2022. And then in 2024, just recently, since the launch and the merger, it was announced that Trump Media basically had lost $58
million. $58 million. It's a number.
And in fact, there was a November 2023 Digital World financial disclosure indicating that management had substantial doubt about its ability to pay its bills. And the company's accounting firm had substantial doubt about the company's ability to remain in business. Okay, so we fast forward to last month.
So wait, that was just 6 months ago.
That's correct.
Yeah.
So on March 22nd, this past March, the deal finally was approved by Digital World shareholders. The two companies completed the merger on March 25th, and the company starts trading under the symbol DJT, as I mentioned. One thing I should mention as well, five of the inaugural seven-member board of directors of the combined company are closely connected to former President Trump, including his son Donald Trump Jr., a former Congressman Devin Nunes, and three former Trump administration officials. So there you go. Now we know. The stock starts trading on March 25th. It jumped from $50 up to about $79. It reached a high of $79 on the first day of trading. It since lost a little bit of its luster after they reported the fact that they had lost the $58 million in 2023, and its only income was $4 million on advertising on Truth Social.
And it's trading around $48 today.
It's trading around $48, which gives it a market capitalization of about $7.5 billion. And on the first day of trading, the company was valued at over $11 billion. So this gets us back to our whole discussion about meme stocks. Do they trade on fundamentals? Well, arguably not, given that it would be unlikely that a company worth anywhere from $7.5 billion to $11 billion, depending on which day we're looking at shares, would actually be justified given a loss of $58 million. And so there's really two reasons, I guess, that we could see why would these shares still be trading at a market cap of $7.5 billion. I think the answers there might be, well, one, it's just hype. It's just stock market hype from social media, from Wall Street bets, et cetera, et cetera. And the other is that, well, listen, this company, its success or failure may ultimately come down to whether or not Donald Trump becomes the next president of the United States. Because certainly if he does, then I would think that that company would have real value.
But as it is right now, when you're looking to purchase a stock, you would want to look at the earnings of that company.
Absolutely.
The intrinsic value of any company is based off of the future earning potential of the company. If somebody came to me today and said, what do you think of this stock? I'd say, well, they're not making any money. The future price of the stock should actually go down.
It should. Exactly. And I think the key thing to remember is that when you look at something like GameStop, yes, they got a large social media following and some viral activity that combined not only social media with the ability to trade stocks at no cost. So I think there is certainly a gambling aspect to it. And there's also something called the greater fool theory. And that greater fool theory just says that, okay, maybe I'm paying way too much for shares of a company that's losing money, but as long as I can sell them at a higher price, I don't really care. There will be somebody willing to pay more. And we saw that with GameStop. somebody bought the shares at $400 or whatever. And of course, the shares are nowhere near $400 today.
Well, no, I just mentioned they're 11.
Exactly. Post-split. And so there is that whole aspect to it as well. It's a bit of a gambling approach. And it's just, well, okay, as long as somebody's willing to pay more for my shares, I don't really care about the underlying investment. And I guess I shouldn't use the word investment because it's not really an investment.
It's just speculation. It's just like gambling, as you mentioned. And I guess I would say to our listeners, I mean, Greg, we would not advise people to buy this stock. We would advise people to use the fundamentals of investing to work in your favor. If you're purchasing this, it's not based off of its intrinsic value.
No.
You're purchasing it for some other reason.
That's right. And in the end, it may come down to that binary outcome I mentioned. Either Trump gets elected, in which case the company could well be worth $7 to $11 billion because of his ability to control things, including SEC investigations and anything else. Or he might just get a massive number of people signed on to Truth Social. Right now, I believe they have about 500,000 users, which pales in comparison to the 70 million followers he had on X, previously known as Twitter. Perhaps an election win would boost that number dramatically and give this company lots more opportunity to earn actual income rather than lose money. Or he doesn't get reelected and the whole basis for buying the stock goes away and it goes back to trading on fundamentals, which would be very disastrous for shareholders.
I had somebody the other day ask me, why doesn't Trump just sell $500 million worth of shares of the new company to put up the money for his legal problems? And the answer was, we can't. The shares for him are tied up for 6 months.
That's right.
So just because the stock popped the first day by however many percent doesn't mean anything. It's like, well, what are they worth 5.5 months from now?
That's right. So that's certainly for the insiders. So the insiders are subject to lockup provisions. And I think that in a way that protects the value for other shareholders, because if it became clear that one of the insiders was dumping a massive amount of stock, that would certainly have a deleterious impact on the share price. So basically, buyer beware, and hopefully that puts a little bit of color around the whole Trump media.
Yeah. Well, Greg, I want to welcome you to 2024 and the new millennium.
Thank you.
Yeah, because I was just looking, you have an Apple Watch you're wearing now.
I do.
You finally caved, got rid of your crank 'em up old watches.
Yeah,
and
that's
went
right.
To the digital.
Yeah, I went to something that, whereas before I had to change my battery once every 5 years, now I have to charge my phone every day. It seems less convenient, not more.
Yeah, but you'll get all your tweets and everything right
sure,
on
I
your
will.
Watch.
Sure, I will. Like to hear them right away.
Yeah.
Like to get them.
All right, well, should we wrap it up there?
I think
there?
We should. Yep, you bet.
Okay, well, again, not a political commentary.
No.
We're just talking about a company that has gone public. Out of the blue, it almost felt like.
Yep.
And the fact that you just got to be careful of how much things like that are actually worth.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right.
Till next time.
Thank you for listening to the Free Lunch Podcast hosted by the CM Group. To subscribe to this podcast to get more realistic insights on investing or to connect with one of our talented partners, please head on over to markets-work.com. We'll see you next time on the Free Lunch Podcast. CIBC logo and CIBC Private Wealth are registered trademarks of CIBC. If you're currently a CIBC Wood Gundy client, please contact your investment advisor. CIBC Private Wealth consists of services provided by CIBC and its subsidiaries, including CIBC Wood Gundy, a division of CIBC World Markets Inc. CIBC Private Wealth is a registered trademark of CIBC used under license. Wood Gundy is a registered trademark of CIBC World Markets Inc. Colin Andrews and Greg Kreminski are investment advisors with CIBC Wood Gundy. This information, including any opinion, is based on various sources believed to be reliable, but its accuracy cannot be guaranteed and is subject to change. CIBC and CIBC World Markets Inc., their affiliates, directors, officers, and employees may buy, sell, or hold a position and securities of the companies mentioned here and its affiliates or subsidiaries, and they also perform financial advisory services, investment banking, or other services for or have lending or other credit relationships with the same. CIBC World Markets Inc. and its representatives will receive sales commissions and or a spread between bid and ask prices if you purchase, sell, or hold the securities referred to above. CIBC World Markets Inc. 2024.